My name is Murat Nahimana. I am your young show host, and I'm here with Zamani at the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute for the Conference of Reflecting to Action, Ubuntu-Centered Perspective in Education. Zamani, hello.
Hi.
Can you tell us about your journey and yourself?
Yeah. Again, my name is Zamani. I sometimes go by Zamani Folade, that's my middle name. I'm a singer, songwriter, music producer based in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and all around just someone who loves art and creating things in many different mediums. That includes, like, I love painting, I love drawing, but music has been like the main way that I tend to express myself through the creative arts.
So you mentioned arts a lot. And how do you think it reflects in our culture? And does it mean something deeper than what it seems?
I think that in our culture, you know, the African diaspora, beyond even just here in Nova Scotia, art is kind of the main, I think also one of the main ways that we express ourselves. And it's one of the most, like, far-reaching ways that we express ourselves, and how people from other places and other cultures can kind of understand or get a little bit of a insight or snapshot into who we are as a people. And so the sounds that we've created, the rhythms, the visuals, and those things, they are the culture to me. I think they go hand in hand. I don't think that our art is separate from our culture. I feel like it's kind of all one. And it's a way to understand who we are, and just kind of the things that we do, the ways that we are, and the ways that we interact with one another. I feel like the art reflects that and is what allows other people to see that in us.
So today it's about the bridge to the continent, from Nova Scotia to the continent. How does that bridge take place in your life or in your artistic projects?
Ooh, I like that question. I feel like for me, for one, like I have been to, I want to go to more countries in Africa, but I've been to Ghana. And that is kind of like a literal bridge for me, where I got to kind of experience what it's like to be in a place that I know that my ancestors were taken away from, and to feel that connection, not just to read about it, to see it online and to see it in books and on TV, but to have that experience and to, like, have my feet on the soil and to kind of be one with that place. I definitely draw a lot on the sounds of the diaspora. Like, I feel so closely connected to all the different sounds that we've created wherever you look in the world. On my dad's side, we're from the Caribbean, so I'm really interested in kind of blending those sounds in my music. And so I love to take some of the instrumentation, whether it's like a steel pan drum, whether it's a certain rhythmic quality or chord progression. And I'm really, really, really so glad that the world is falling in love with Afrobeats, because I just feel like it's far overdue. It's such a beautiful sound, and I think it's like kind of my favorite genre right now. It's like all I listen to. But I like to blend the sounds of Afrobeats, Caribbean music, African-American sounds, those chord progressions and gospel. Like, that's the root of it for me, is like the gospel intonation and the way that people sing, like it's the last time that they're ever gonna sing, and how they put themselves into it. Like, those are all things that I draw from when I'm making music, when I'm singing, when I'm doing all of the different art forms that I enjoy bringing myself to.
You can tell that you really draw from your background, cultural background, mm-hmm. and that's very enriching. So today there were talks about the Mandela panel. What were your thoughts on that information that was shared with us at the conference?
The first one, that was the first panel. Well, actually, that was my mom up there, Delvina, on the panel. And I felt like it was really enriching to see this conversation, because of all those themes that I was taught a lot of these things growing up about, you know, psychological dislocation and those themes of how we are kind of like in a world, but we're not viewed as being in this world that we have to kind of wake up every day and take part in and contribute to. And so I was taught a lot of those lessons of, like, you know, writing the margins when you're taught something in school that, you know, goes against what we know as a culture and as a people to be true. Like Christopher Columbus being the one to discover the Americas and things like that. So to watch that discourse and hear those conversations kind of reinforced to me, like, why I'm so proud to be from this community and why it's important for us to do these things, because it's so, in the age of technology and as there's like a dawning of AI, misinformation is becoming ever prevalent, and we're, you know, getting to a point where like a lot of things can be lost, and it's going to be harder and harder to tell what's the truth. So to have these people come into a room and discuss these topics, to me, is like reminding us of the truth and of our foundation and connectedness together in our humanness and in our blackness.
So you mentioned the word truth, and yesterday at the conference there were talks about the truth and reconciliation that was happening in South Africa. How do you see the truth and reconciliation happening in Canada as well as in the last couple of years?
I feel like there are efforts being made, but there's always so much further that we can go. And I feel like that's, you know, many people have said that, but it's the truth. And it goes beyond like performative acts and just, you know, things that appear to be reconciliation on the surface. But it's about equity, and it's about giving people what they need to thrive. And that looks different for every group, whether you're African, Nova Scotian, or Indigenous, or from another cultural group. Like, we each need something different because we've all been impacted by the systems that we live in differently. And so it's really about having conversations with different groups and those people who are responsible for creating that reconciliation and for fixing the wrongs that were done, for them to truly understand and take us seriously to hear and create actions behind what we are telling them that are going to serve what we need, and to actually have reconciliation. Like, that's going to take a long time. It might not happen in our generation. But the fact that we're here today says that there's people who are trying to make it happen so that the future generations will be able to live in a world where they say that reconciliation has been made.
Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if there were talks about the principles of Ubuntu and working as a collective. And I was wondering how those principles show in whether it's your day-to-day life or even working in a studio with other people to get the project done.
Yeah. Well, that's actually something that I kind of learned a little bit later in my music journey, because I often worked by myself. I'm a relatively shy person, and when it comes to my creative pursuits, I kind of like to do them alone, or I used to, I would say. I've kind of grown out of that now, but, you know, I would be really shy and scared to show people the things that I've created, and I would keep them for myself. But then as I grew older and I learned the value of collective efforts and working in community with others, I learned that, you know, no one person has the singular solution to an issue. And I think of creative projects as kind of like issues that you have to solve, or problems to solve. I'm also an architecture student at Dalhousie University. I'm in my master's degree. I'm finishing that up soon. That's another example for me of how there's a collective effort toward an end goal, and there's problems that need to be solved. And that's where creativity comes in, is that there's an issue and you have to be creative to figure out like how you're going to fix it. And that's where you draw on other people, and you pull on the skills of others, and you work together to create a sum that is larger than the parts that created it. And so that's how I feel like, you know, we can work the best. There's a time and a place for doing things alone, of course. But I feel like we are definitely better together when we put our efforts and our minds together.
Very inspiring words. And our last question is, why do you think it's important to have a Black radio in Canada?
I think it's so important because our voices are valuable, and we need to share our stories and be heard. There's so much that we have to offer, and you know, even when we're not trying to make impact, sometimes we do. Like our culture is so, it resonates so much with people everywhere. Even when we're not trying to, people I feel like just are interested in what we have to say. But then there is the other side of that where people try to silence us. So, you know, for those who it's meant for, like, it will resonate with them and they will be interested in hearing our stories. But then even for those who aren't interested, like, we're still here to say, like, we have things to say and there are things that you can learn from our stories and from what we have to offer to the world.
Thank you, Zemani, for being with us on Mucho Radio.
Thank you.